Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show on Your Encouraging WPER. Welcome to another edition of Community Matters. Today's conversation is very special to me because I had the chance to talk with two amazing women, Valerie and Madison, about not only the organization Compassion First, but also an effort that Madison, who is a high schooler in the area, something that she is doing this year to kind of help further the efforts of Compassion First with the Lantern Walk. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to Valerie and Madison, and they'll tell you more about Compassion First and what they have plans for this year. Well, welcome, Valerie and Madison, to the Community Matters program. I'm so excited to talk to both of you. And could I ask, just so that we can give our listeners a little bit of insight as to who you are, I'd love for you to just give us your name and a little bit about you. And Valerie, specifically, even if you could just kind of talk to us about your role within Compassion First. So Valerie, we'll start with you.
Okay, well, my name is Valerie Bellamy, and I am the Director of Operations for Compassion First.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Madison?
I'm Madison Argyle. I've been with Compassion First for a while, and I'm 15.
And you're a student in the area, right?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Valerie, could I ask you a little bit about what Compassion First is for many of our listeners who may not be familiar? I'd love for them to just know a little bit about the organization.
Yeah, no problem, Megan. So we care for children being rescued from commercial trafficking throughout the islands of Indonesia. So we have facilities throughout those islands where we help facilitate the rescue of girls in partnership with police and offer them a residential program where they are able to just to come put their lives back together, including catching up with their education, trauma counseling, any legal advocacy that's needed, and just working with the girls and with their families with the goal of reintegrating them and reuniting them when both the girls and her family and community are ready for that.
Beautiful. And Madison, I know that something drew you to be working with Compassion First. Can I ask you, what was it about it that made you say, I want to be a part, I want to help?
Well, I kind of grew up around Compassion First, mm-hmm. like seeing my mom work with them. I just saw the work they did, and like I've gone to Indonesia and like met the people, and it just really inspired me.
That's incredible. I definitely want to ask you about that trip in a little bit. But first, Valerie, could you tell me a little bit about how long has Compassion First been around and where are you guys based?
Well, our headquarters are in Beaverton, Oregon, mm-hmm. and we've been in Indonesia since 2010. And so we have a handful of staff here in the States, but 63 staff, all national Indonesians that really are carrying the work in Indonesia. So we've been there since 2010, and Indonesia is known for being a hard place to work. And so what we've seen is just nonprofits come through and just not be able, for one reason or another, to stay or to continue their work there. And so to be there for such a long time and to have our staff carry it so beautifully is for just attribute that to the grace of God and have just learned so much along the way.
Can I ask how big the organization is? Like, I mean, are we talking like hundreds of people working, or are you guys a pretty small operation?
Well, we've got about 65 staff in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a development office here in Beaverton where we have maybe five or six of us, but the bulk of the work is overseas.
And what does your volunteer program look like? Do you guys rely a lot on the efforts of volunteers?
Oh, absolutely. And so, I mean, especially people like Madison or those who just feel connected to the story and then just take it upon themselves to share the story and then to invite their friends into the story. I mean, it's really how the whole thing is supported. And so it's churches and it's individuals and it's people just kind of feeling their own heart stirred for the work that's being done there and the girls who are being rehabilitated there and them just joining their efforts and their lives to this story. I mean, it really is what carries it. We depend on it. It is, if we see it as just the provision of God for the work there and couldn't do it without them for sure.
I love it. And Madison, I'd love to ask your experience as a volunteer with Compassion First. And we'll talk about the Lantern Walk a little bit later in this discussion. But really what I want to hear about is overall, what have you been doing to help Compassion First with any volunteer efforts that you've given?
I started a lot of fundraisers. Last birthday, I did one on Instagram. And I just did a fundraiser through people I knew and tried doing everything I could to help.
Perfect. I also know that, I saw some pictures of a photo shoot that you did with some of your friends. So I'm curious, how has it been for you, being in high school and sharing the story of Compassion First with your friends? Like, have you found them to be receptive to helping and, like, eager to want to get involved?
Yeah, 100%. They've all been very, very nice about it. And they've all been really, like, wanting to help and do everything they can. And they love the photo shoot and everything. And it's really nice, and it's able to, like, open them up to everything.
I love it. And Valerie, I would have to imagine if you've got Madison and, you know, and her friends helping, I'm assuming then that there's lots of different volunteer opportunities. Like, age may not even specifically be an issue. So could you talk to us a little bit about the ways that different volunteers do help the organization, the kinds of opportunities that there are available?
For sure, Megan. And I mean, you're right. Having someone like Madison on your team is the very best. And what I'm finding is that, I mean, she inspires us. And just watching her life and watching how she just is investing it already for the sake of others, it gets us up in the morning and inspires us to keep going too. And so I think, I mean, as far as the volunteer opportunities, the thing that Madison is doing, it's really primarily people taking their own gifts, their own passions, their own skill sets, and telling the story to their friends in a way that makes sense in their own context. And so a lot of it is telling the story in ways that make sense to them and inviting people into that story. So that the 5K or people having even events in their homes or events in their churches, or we have businesses who partner and give proceeds of their products to the work. And so we have just a variety of ways that people are just connecting to our story and utilizing their resources and passions in order to communicate the heart and the needs of our girls over there. And so I guess it also depends on where you're based. You know, those who are more locally Portland based, they are able to come into the office and help to do things physically on location here. Or we have had teams, as Madison's mentioned, those who have gone to Indonesia and served there for short bursts of time. And so really, Megan, it really depends on the person and their desire and their time commitment and skill set. But there's just a gamut of opportunities that seem really personalized to the individual.
I'd really love to ask about these trips to Indonesia. What is that experience like, Valerie? Like, how large are these groups that are going in, and what kind of work are they doing specifically on the ground in Indonesia?
Well, and obviously that hasn't happened for a couple of years because of COVID and those restrictions.
Sure.
But, I mean, they're very small, actually. And so because of the nature of what we do, we are pretty, like, selective in how many trips we take and how many people come along. But it's really just doing life together, Megan. Very rarely will we have a specific building project or things like that, although that comes along and that's really needed. But when we take people over, it is really just to be in relationship with the girls and also the communities we serve. We also serve communities that actually they live in cemeteries throughout Indonesia. And so communities of very vulnerable women and children who have, our heart is that they will not end up as victims of trafficking. And so we have worked both in communities and hopes to prevent trafficking. And then we have the facilities that are caring for the girls who unfortunately have been. And when we take teams there, it may be to join the community and join the girls in a special event. So we have parties, we have family camps, we have things that we incorporate the girls in the community into, and we include our friends from the U.S. And when our friends from the U.S. go over, the message to the girls and to the communities is just simply, like, you're worth coming for. And so it's not only that hopefully that they will experience the love of God through our lives, but that we also look to them and experience the love of God through them. That is just a real mutual exchange of life.
I love that. And then, Madison, I'd love to hear about your experience, just, you know, being someone who's been over there, who's been able to be a part of that mission trip. Could I ask, what was it like for you?
When I went to Indonesia, I went to go visit the country. I haven't been to the shelters yet, but mm-hmm. it's something I really, really want to do sometime soon when everything's open. But the Indo people, I love them so much, and they're all very, very kind.
That's so great. I love it. Valerie, could you share any stories? And I don't know what you're even able to share from Compassion First, but mm-hmm. any stories of women specifically who have been helped by the organization? Any success stories that you could share?
Yeah, maybe I'd be happy to. And you know, why I enjoy maybe telling a story like that is because it's just really important to us and to the women that they know that it's their success story and not even a Compassion First one. And so our heart is that we just communicate dignity and honor, and that they actually begin to realize their own value, regardless of their path or their vocation or even their religion, that they begin to realize their value in the eyes of God, and that they are able to create a new future for themselves. And so I really love that as these women feel valued and loved and empowered, that they begin to like dream and they begin to make a life that is worthy of them. And that we celebrate that as their success story. And that is such a fun thing to be a part of. And I guess the one that comes to mind, Megan, is my friend, actually, Minar. She is a woman who lived and worked in the cemetery for many years. And when I say lived and worked there, so these cemeteries are they're full of people who just live between the graves there. And during the day, the women clean the graves for about 10 cents. And then during the night, they come back and stand by those same tombstones and sell their bodies for about 75 cents just for the survival of their children. Mm. And so many of them are HIV positive. All of this is informed by poverty. And mostly a Muslim community. And what we're seeing there, Megan, is even when I first visited those grounds 10 years ago and knowing all of the things that happened there at night and just the desperation of the situation, I expected to be moved by the need. But what I was moved by was the presence of God who just lived there. And so we began just to make friends in that community. And our heart was that we communicate dignity in every way we could, even if it's very small. So that means just learning the woman's name, looking her in the eyes, learning her story, treating her like a human and not as a project. And we just followed the invitations that came, that women began to invite us into their homes and into their lives and into their stories. And the really cool thing, Megan, is that when we just showed up just to love and to learn from them, that they began to ask us questions. And I remember the very first time a woman asked us a question, and she said, "What I do at night brings me so much shame. Will you tell me what you know about Jesus?" Mm. And we've just been having those conversations over and over and over, and realizing that when you just show up to love, Jesus just reveals himself. And Minar was one of those women early on who we befriended. And actually, it was her daughter, Asia, who was 11 years old at the time, and came to us and said, "Hey, I know what my mom does at night to take care of me. That's not what I want. I want to be a teacher. I want to go to school."
I love it.
And so we just followed Asia's lead. And she was the first girl, the first child in that community who we were able just to help get into school. And then she has thrived ever since. And as her mom watched this, and one thing that these schools told Minar and her family is that if it's a Christian organization that's helping your daughter go through school, we don't expect that she'll be here long. They just didn't expect follow through. But as we just kept on showing up, and then the years went by and Asia remained in school and thrived in school, that her mom, Minar, came to us and said, "Hey, who is this Jesus? Who are you?" because you're just not going away. And so that was our first conversation with Manar about why we came and about the God who loves her. And from that point on, her story began to change. And so she came out of that cemetery, and she was the first woman who started her own business on the cemetery grounds. And so she had her own sewing business. And she is the one that became a mentor and shining light in that example. And so we have two community centers in that cemetery, and she was there every day. She was there helping the children. She was there sewing her skirt. But more than that, she was just a shining example to other women of what is possible. And it just this past year, she passed away unexpectedly. And because they live in a red light district that is very shunned and avoided by her community, when she did collapse to the ground, an ambulance was not willing to come into that area, and she died almost instantaneously.
Oh, wow.
And then, but just to first of all wonder, oh man, the brightest light in that community is gone. But also, as we began just to walk with that community at the loss of their friend and at the loss of our friend, we began to learn that she had told her husband, who was a Muslim man, she had told him before she died that she wanted her babies to know about Jesus. And in that community and in that context, that's astounding.
Yeah.
And so now we're walking with her four children, walking out their loss of their mom, and in that community at the loss of their brightest light, but just the legacy that she's leaving of hope, and that as they connect to the source of life that she found, that they also can have a hope for a different future. And so I just feel like that is just so representative of what we see. I mean, and for every success story, there are a dozen ones that are full of heartbreak, and they just all go together, you know? And so it's people like Manar, who was the first of everything, and now dozens of women have followed in her trail of entrepreneurship, or her daughter, Asiya, who was the first to say, hey, I want to go to school. And now we've got about 50 children, you know, in our scholarship program. And it's following the lead of our friends there, not coming in with ideas and our solutions, but walking alongside them. And they can very often articulate the problem and the solution. And just following their lead and seeing where that goes, it's a joy.
That is incredible. I would love to turn the conversation now over to the Lantern Walk. Now, before we get to Madison and specifically the local one that's coming up, Valerie, is there a history of the Lantern Walk? Is this something that Compassion First has done for a while?
It is. Well, and the interesting thing is it was Madison's mom, Jeanette, who has been such a good friend to us for years.
Mm-hmm.
She is the one that initially facilitated a Lantern Walk for us a handful of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a history to it in our organization, although we have not hosted one since the one we do with Jeanette in the Portland area a while back.
Very, very cool. So then, Madison, my question for you is, with the Lantern Walk, did you get a chance to do anything before this year tied to this, or is this something that you just decided this year you wanted to bring to this area?
Mainly just something that I really wanted to do. I was there during the past Lantern Walks, and it was just a really cool experience and something to see and something I just really wanted to bring back.
So what made you decide this year? You're like, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I feel like God's leading me in this direction. What was like the thing that pushed you to just say, let's do it. 2022, we're going to make this Lantern Walk happen.
I feel like 2020 and 2021 was kind of like a rough year. And like, I tried doing things like, you know, through like virtually for my birthday, but it was just never really felt the same. And I felt like I just kind of wanted to bring things back and like bring a light.
And you're literally bringing a light with the lanterns. I love that. What has your process been, Madison, in terms of planning? What kind of things have you been doing to prepare for this?
We've put out some letters. We've done a lot of like community work, talked to like some friends, like just really get the message out.
And can you tell me, just for those who may not even be aware, what is the Lantern Walk? Like if somebody's thinking, I really want to do something to help, this sounds interesting. When they sign up, what are they going to expect when they actually show up to the event?
The Lantern Walk is going to be a 5K walk/run. Walkers are able to hold lanterns that we will supply. The walk is going to be at 6:30 at twilight.
Where will the walk be held?
The Woodlake Pavilion, Midlothian, Virginia.
Perfect. How many people are you hoping to come out? Do you have like a goal for registration?
500 probably.
That's awesome. And you've already opened registration, right? People can register now?
Yes.
How many do you have so far?
Not sure yet.
All right, we'll keep it under wraps. We're just going to pray for that 500 to come. What is the fee to participate?
$45 for adults, $25 for children.
Oh, that's fantastic. So really, like all ages then are welcome to participate in the Lantern Walk.
Yes.
That is amazing. If people want to find out more information, is there a website that they can go to?
Yes, www.lanternwalk.com.
Awesome. And I would imagine you're not doing this by yourself. So tell us a little bit about your support team. Who do you have helping you with this?
Mainly my mom. Mm-hmm. She's a big, big role in this. And then the help of like my friends from school and like my cheer friends.
Fantastic. Well, I'm really excited for you. And remind me again, what is the date of the Lantern Walk?
June 25th.
So it's going to be warm, beautiful weather, perfect time to be outside. Valerie, can I ask you from your perspective? Efforts of you know, youth like Madison. What does it mean to Compassion First?
I mean, are you kidding me? It is just so fun. I mean, and really, Megan, we're just following her lead here. Mm-hmm. I mean, to have someone like Madison, and especially at her age, like just take the initiative and saying, for my birthday, this is what I want to do. And I'm going to help girls my age. And I'm going to, that do not have these kind of opportunities. And I'm going to go for it. I mean, it's just the coolest thing. And so she has just kind of created a stir within our organization that we feel inspired and we feel humbled and we want to take her lead in the way that she just lives with just so much passion. It's pure joy working alongside her.
Madison, is there anything else that you would like to say about the Lantern Walk and that maybe you haven't had a chance to say yet?
There is a virtual part of the walk where mm-hmm. people can go and sign up and we will send them a shirt and a lantern and they can go put the lanterns out, maybe have a barbecue, go walk along anywhere where they are located and just kind of go and do the walk on their own.
That is incredible. So it really does kind of open up, especially for those who maybe can't make it to Midlothian. It's like, hey, we got room for you too.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Thank you. Before we close out, I am actually curious, Valerie, do you have any like big future plans for Compassion First? Any growth opportunities that you're looking at for the year ahead?
Yeah, for sure, Megan. So as I mentioned, we are currently working in a cemetery in East Java and now have invitation into another. And so we have opportunities to expand into other cemetery communities like the one that Manar lived in. And also opening two new shelters in the island of Java this year as well. And so I just feel like opportunities just keep presenting themselves, and we are just humbled and grateful just to keep on walking in order just to reach as many girls and families as we can.
Perfect. Thank you. And then, Madison, one more time, what is the website for people who want to look out for that Lantern Walk?
www.thelanternwalk.com.
Amazing. And Valerie, for people who want to find out more information about Compassion First, where can they go?
Oh, yeah, compassionfirst.org.
Beautiful. Ladies, I don't have any further questions, but before I do close out, I always like to ask my guests, is there anything else that you didn't get to talk about that you want to make sure is covered?
No.
I don't think so, Megan.
All right. Well, then we are all set. Thank you both for your time today. I really appreciate it. I am so excited to share this information with our listeners.
Thank you, Megan. And thank you, Madison.
Thank you.
And that concludes another edition of Community Matters. Thank you once again for hanging with us today. And of course, if you'd like to hear audio from any of these interviews again, you can do so right on our website, WPER.org. Have a great day.